Well, it's my joy to be back at Faith and Practice Week at Union University. My name's Jimmy Scroggins. I am from West Palm Beach, Florida, and I'm thrilled about the beautiful weather you guys have this week. This is fantastic to get here in the rain. My kids were just texting me and sending me pictures from them playing in the yard. In West Palm Beach this morning, it's 89 degrees, and it is sunny, and it will be that way year-round. That's where we live. And so when I come to a place like Union University, I'm always a little bit worried. I lived in Louisville, Kentucky for 15 years, and it gets really cold in Louisville, at least cold to me. And so in Louisville, we had winter clothes. In West Palm Beach, we have a winter outfit. And so I told my wife, I said, honey, I can't wear this sweater to Union University again. There are pictures of me in this sweater for 3 years in a row. It's the only time I wear this sweater is when I go to Union. So I didn't bring it. So I brought a different sweater for tomorrow. Wait till you see it. It's going to be a knockout. But I hope I don't need it. Like today, I don't even need one. Hey, I want to talk to you about the kingdom of Jesus. We read some scripture about it. Dr. Dockery read from Colossians chapter 1. He said that Christ has transferred us, believers, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 5. And I want to share a little message from Matthew chapter 5, which is funny to preach a message on a message, because Matthew chapter 5 contains the preamble to the most famous sermon in the history of the world, the Sermon on the what? So you know what it is. So it's weird to preach a sermon on a sermon, but that's what I want to do today. In fact, that's what I want to do all 3 days this week, is talk about this thing called the kingdom of Jesus. Now, one of the things that I like to do is I love to watch this TV channel called TV Land. Are you familiar with TV Land? Okay, I like TV Land because on TV Land, they have episode after episode after episode of different shows in order, and I don't have to wait till next week. I can watch the next show now. Okay, so one of the shows that they have on there is The Andy Griffith Show. If you're familiar with The Andy Griffith Show, would you please raise your hand? I want you, okay, you need to be familiar with it, because we are in the Deep South, we're in the heart of the Bible Belt, and everyone in the Bible Belt should love The Andy Griffith Show. And I like some of the, well, they should, and I like some of the characters on The Andy Griffith Show. For instance, Andy Griffith, I like him a lot. He's really good. The sheriff, you know, he's a good dad, he's a single dad, he cares about his son, he's always dating all these girls, but he's very chaste and very gentlemanly in how he treats them. He treats, you know, Aunt Bee very, very well. He's always wise, he always makes the wise decision, he's always measured when everyone else is losing their head. Good old Andy just keeps his head about him. I love that about him. And then Barney Fife, I hate Barney Fife. Okay, I think if Barney Fife was my friend, I'd punch him in the face. Okay, I don't like the way he acts. He's annoying. He's got an annoying voice. He's always running off at the mouth. He's always doing something stupid. He's a horrible singer, even though he thinks he's good. I just can't stand Barney Fife at all. My favorite character, other than Andy, is Ernest T, right? Ernest T, do you guys know Ernest T? Because he's crazy, right? I love him. If Ernest T was in my town, he would be my friend. I love Ernest T, and I love all the episodes. So there's some good things about what's going on in Mayberry, and everybody likes it. In fact, my parents are what I like to call Fox News Republicans. Do you know what I mean by the term Fox News Republicans? Because if you go in our home, if I go visit my parents and you go in their house, the only thing ever on is Megyn Kelly on Fox News. It's on round the clock. They know everything. My parents not only watch Megyn Kelly on Fox News, they believe everything they say on Fox News is the truth. And that's why my parents couldn't believe, like, you know, on Fox News, the night of the presidential election, they were saying that Mitt Romney was going to win until like 11 o'clock at night. My parents woke up in the morning thinking that when Mitt Romney won the election, didn't even know. Because that's how they are. They're Fox News Republicans. They grew up in a different time than I did, certainly a different time than you did, because I'm 42. I'm old enough to be some of your dads. Okay, so we live in a time that's changing, and sometimes when we think about Mayberry, we're thinking about a time, and we think, you know, that would be cool to live in a town like Mayberry. And some of you would say, I grew up in a town like Mayberry. And some of you might look at Jackson and think Jackson's kind of like Mayberry, but it's really not. One of the things about Mayberry, did you notice, like on the show, Andy Griffith, see all the black people? Isn't that cool? There's just lots of black people on there. Like, think of all the black characters. What? What about all the Hispanic characters? Did you notice all of them? They're real. They're just all over the place, right? Hispanic characters. How about the gay characters? They have a lot of gay characters on that? No, they didn't. It's actually nothing like the the place that we live. And the truth is, in the 1960s, when that show was produced, they said this show is a throwback to the 1930s. And the truth is that time never existed, and it's never going to exist again. And it's just never happened. Mayberry is a fiction. Mayberry is not anything like the towns that we actually live in, and it's certainly not anything like the kingdom that Jesus is describing, like the kingdom that Jesus is bringing to this earth. It is nothing like the kingdom of Jesus. It seems like it would be idyllic, but it's not idyllic at all. It's just purely imaginary. Let me read to you what Jesus said. When Jesus started his earthly ministry when he was 30 years old, he went out into the desert. He was tempted by the devil. He was baptized by John the Baptist, and John the Baptist got thrown in jail. And then the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from that time, after John the Baptist got thrown into jail, from that time, Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want everybody to say kingdom of heaven with me on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, when he started preaching, the first time he starts preaching, the first thing that is recorded in the scriptures that Jesus said is repent. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not the kingdom of America, not the kingdom even of Jerusalem. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he goes up on the mountain with his disciples and he begins to preach a sermon where he begins to unfold for them what the kingdom of heaven would look like. And here's what he said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Check it out. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the, what? Kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall get the snot beat out of them. No, they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will starve to death. No, they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for everyone will take advantage of them. No, they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they're so naive. No, they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the what? The kingdom of heaven. So this is what Jesus is saying. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then he goes on. Blessed are you, disciples. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice, be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who are before you. You are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What is this kingdom? What did he mean, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? What does he mean about all of these people who seem to be the weak of the world? How will they ever inherit this thing called the kingdom of heaven? Where is the kingdom of heaven? How can we find it? At my house in West Palm Beach, I have 8 children and 1 wife. I have 6 sons and 2 daughters. My oldest son is 17 years old. He is a junior in high school. My youngest son is 4 years old. He is nothing. So I have all of these kids. I have my first 5 are boys. They're 17, 15, 13, 12, and 10. My next 2 are girls. They're 8 and 6. And my last one's a boy. He's 4. And so we don't plan on having any more children, so you don't need to ask. I don't plan on having more children. But I've said that like 5 times, so who knows what could happen. When your wife wants more kids, she has ways. That's all I'm going to tell you. Different sermon. Anyways. But one of my favorites. Anyways. I was talking with my children around the dinner table about the kingdom of heaven. I said to them, I said, hey guys, let me ask you a question. When Jesus said repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, when Jesus keeps talking about the kingdom of heaven, when Jesus says this person or that person or this kind of person will inherit the kingdom of heaven, what is he talking about? What is the kingdom of heaven? My 6-year-old raises her hand. Dad, I know what it is. What is it, Mary Claire? It's heaven. It's heaven. You know what? She's actually right. That is part of what Jesus is talking about. It is heaven. The kingdom of heaven is certainly manifest in heaven. Okay, what else? What else could it mean? Well, it means when Jesus comes back. Yeah, that's true too. What else could it mean? Well, it means church. Well, that certainly should be part of the kingdom of heaven. Here's what, and your theology professors can correct this in class later. The kingdom of heaven, in its broadest, most basic sense, the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, is wherever Jesus is presently ruling, wherever he is regarded as king, where people are yielding to him as king. That is where the kingdom of heaven is. One day in heaven, will that be true? Yeah, because in heaven, everybody regards Jesus as king. When Jesus comes back, will that be true? Yes, because the Bible says, at that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But in the broadest sense, where is Jesus the king? Well, in one sense, he's king of everything because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But in another sense, he's not the king of everything because there is a kingdom of this world. There's a prince of the power of the air. There's another kingdom in operation here. So Jesus is the king where Jesus the king is ruling and reigning, where someone is bowing and acknowledging him and yielding their life to him as the king. So that's where Jesus is the king. So Jesus says, repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here's what the kingdom of heaven is supposed to look like. And he starts to tell us what the kingdom of heaven is supposed to look like. All right, I want you to understand that it's easy for Fox News Republicans, like my parents or grandparents, to get very, very discouraged because they feel like the influence of Christians is waning in our society. It feels like everything is going against the Christians, from the rulings on gay marriage to the way that they're going to treat public institutions to no prayer in schools to fill in the blank. It just feels like everything's going against the Christians. And so it feels like the kingdom of heaven is getting beaten down. Can I just share with you? The kingdom of heaven is not getting beaten down. The kingdom of heaven cannot get beaten down. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is not losing. Jesus is winning. Jesus is winning, and the winning of Jesus has nothing to do with whether or not the Fox News Republicans carry the day politically. The kingdom of heaven has to do with Jesus carrying the day in the hearts of men and women. And that is happening at a greater rate all over the world right now than has ever happened in all of human history. There are more churches being planted. There are more people preaching the gospel of Jesus. There are more people coming to Christ right now than ever in the course of human history. You are alive right now at the greatest time to be alive in the history of the Christian church, in my opinion, because you are getting to see things. Now, you don't get to see them up close from here. So that means if you want to see him up close, you're going to have to go somewhere else. And that's what Union University is all about. That's what your church is all about. That's what many of your families, that's what they are all about. It's easy to despair because of the decline of Christian influence. You know what most Christians need to do in America? Do you know what most of us need to do? Okay, first of all, we need to get over our whiteness. Okay, now I don't mean you can get over being white, because if you're white, you're just white. God made you that way, and most of you cannot dance. Well, okay, but what I mean is, when we think of the kingdom of Jesus, when we think of Mayberry, we're always thinking, hey, there should be more people thinking like me, looking like me, acting like me. That's just not the case. We probably need to get over our Baptisticity, okay? We probably need to go get over our American-centric view of the world, okay? You know why? Because none of these are bound up in the kingdom of Jesus. Kingdom of Jesus, he's not talking about the color of your skin or the way that your accent sounds when you speak or the language that your parents speak in the country where they were born. What Jesus is talking about is something that's happening in the heart. Do you know why Fox News Republicans get upset? Let me just give you some demographic information. It's easily accessible. You can Google it right now on your phone and double check me, but don't, because it's a waste of a bunch of your time. For people over 65 in America, people over 65 in America, 80% of those people are non-Hispanic white. Do you understand that? 80% of people over 65 are non-Hispanic white. Do you see what that means to them? They only know, guess what? White people. That's all that they know. And so, of course,
It's confusing to them when they look around and say, the world's changing. It's confusing to them, and it's a little disconcerting to them. It's a little disconcerting in the state of Florida. We're in the state of Florida for children under the age of 7. Only about 38% of children under the age of 7 in the state of Florida are non-Hispanic white. What does that mean? It means when my son Caleb graduates from high school, his school will be over 60%, closer to 70% probably at that time, 70% non-Hispanic white. That will be his graduating class. What did my father's graduating class look like? 100% white, because they didn't even have integrated schools. So what I'm saying is it's disconcerting. Things are changing. Things are different. Now, you know that because you say, well, we already know that. We're young. We're hip. We're cool. We got, like, you know, Facebook and Twitter. And we have all these different things that we can text people, and it blows it up, and no one can ever find it again. We have all of these different Snapchats and Instagrams, and we have all of these different things that we do, and we're so cool and connected, and we're very comfortable in a multicultural society. I can see that. Look how multicultural this group is, not. All right, so what I'm trying to say to you is that we as people who are yielding our lives to the kingdom of Jesus are going to have to say that the kingdom of Jesus is going to be different than what a political solution might be, or what even a Baptist solution might be, or what even an American solution might be. And while all of those things, politics are important, policy is important, I have strong opinions on all of those things, and yet the kingdom of Jesus overrides and supersedes all of that, and that's what we're called to be. So what Jesus is trying to say to you, and he's trying to say to me, is wherever God takes you when you leave Union University, whatever field you are preparing, whatever your vocation turns out to be, what God wants to do with you is God wants you to be yielded to the kingdom of Jesus. If you're a believer in Jesus, Galatians chapter 4 says that the Spirit of Jesus has now come to dwell in your heart. And if the Spirit of Jesus is dwelling in your heart, the Spirit of Jesus is bringing in the kingdom of Jesus into your heart, which then means that you become a walking outpost of the kingdom of Jesus everywhere that you go. You are personally a walking around outpost of the kingdom of Jesus. If you are a pharmacist, then as you stand behind the counter, or as you work in that hospital, as you dispense medication to heal people, you are a walking, living, breathing outpost of the kingdom of Jesus in your workplace. That's what you are. And if you're going to be a teacher, you're going to stand in that public school, and you're going to do math problems on the board, and you're going to grade homework, and you're going to sit down with students. But as you do it, you are a walking, talking, living, breathing outpost of the kingdom of Jesus in that classroom, in that school. Do you see what I'm saying? If, no matter where it is that you go, if you work for the government, then as you stand and you sit in that government office, and as you process all of that paperwork, and as you make your speeches, and as you do what you're going to do, as you determine policy, you are a living, breathing, walking, talking outpost of the kingdom of Jesus. And you are supposed to be doing what Jesus said the kingdom of Jesus would do. You know what the kingdom of Jesus does? The kingdom of Jesus takes everything that the kingdoms of this world values and turns it over and flips it over and turns it on its head. That's what the kingdom of Jesus does. Well, think about what the Bible says in the kingdom of Jesus. It says it on the Sermon on the Mount. What happens in the Sermon on the Mount? Well, the people who are weak get, guess what? Strong, and the people who are strong, they get weak. The people who are poor get rich, and the people who are rich, they end up being poor. The people who are lifted high in this world get cast down, and the people who are humble in this world get lifted up. The people who are in darkness in this world, they receive the light, and this is the way that Jesus does. This is the way the kingdom of Jesus does. It flips everything on its head so that the weak become strong, what's dark becomes light, what's dead comes alive. Whoever's first has to go last, the last has to go first. And so all of these things happen in the kingdom of Jesus. Listen, that's what people should experience when they run into you. That's what people should experience when they meet you, when they meet me. And here's what happens then. So if I'm a living, breathing, walking around outpost of the kingdom of Jesus, because the Spirit of Jesus, who's bringing in this kingdom, lives in me. And then I was privileged to get married 19 years ago to Kristen, and Kristen and I now have formed a Christian home, and there are two of us with the Spirit of Jesus living in our hearts, and we have become one flesh. We have left our parents and cleaved to one another. We are naked and not ashamed, metaphorically speaking, and not. We are together, and together we have formed the Scroggins household. It lives on 62 Palm Beach Plantation Boulevard, Royal Palm Beach, Florida, 33411. And at 62 Palm Beach Plantation Boulevard, Royal Palm Beach, Florida, 33411, there is an outpost of the kingdom of Jesus down at the end of the cul-de-sac on the right with the big white van parked out in front. That is where the outpost of the kingdom of Jesus is at our house. And then Kristen and I, we got together and God bless us, and we have 8 children, and 6 of them, as far as I am aware, and I'm confident, 6 of them are now believers in Jesus, which means now we have 8 of us living down there at 62 Palm Beach Plantation Boulevard. We have 8 people plus the other 2 who were conscripts, you know, 10 people, and they are living as outposts in the kingdom of Jesus right there in Royal Palm Beach, Florida. So even though my kids are homeschooled, and I know homeschoolers are weird, but all of my kids are homeschooled, but in Florida they play sports at the public school. So when my son goes down to football practice this afternoon at Palm Beach Central High School and he lines up as a defensive end, he is lining up as a defensive end. He puts his hand in the ground and he rushes the quarterback, and he does so as what? As an outpost of the kingdom of Jesus on the football field at Palm Beach Central High School. And when my son Isaac tries out for the basketball team at Emerald Cove Middle School, he goes up and down the court, he does his layups, he does his free throws, he does so as an outpost of the kingdom of Jesus there at Emerald Cove Middle School. And then we joined a church. Even though I'm the pastor in Baptist, you know, polity, you have to join. You're a member of the church. I'm a member of the First Baptist Church of West Palm Beach. And now we've joined with thousands of other people, and we have formed a huge outpost of the kingdom of Jesus right there in West Palm Beach, Florida. And what are we trying to do? Well, we're trying to turn everything on its head everywhere that we can. We're trying to help the poor become rich, see? We're trying to help the sick get healing. We're trying to help people in darkness come into the light. We're trying to take people who are cast down and lift them up. That's what we do as an outpost of the kingdom of Jesus in West Palm Beach, Florida. And not just there, we have connected in a network of over 40,000 other like-minded churches called the Southern Baptist Convention, and together we form a massive outpost of the kingdom of Jesus, not just in West Palm Beach, but all over the world with missionaries everywhere, representative from our seminaries right over here. We are excited because we are a part of something awesome. This is what Jesus is trying to say when he says, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what God wants from you, and what God wants from me, is for us to take our old pride and selfishness, vain ambition, our lust, and our greed, our fear. He wants us to take all of that stuff and yield it to him, the King. And he wants us to open our lives and say, Spirit of Jesus, fill me. Fill me. Teach me how to be an outpost of the kingdom of Jesus where I live, where I work, where I study, where I go, in my dating life, in my fraternity, in my sorority, on my team. How can I live as an outpost of the kingdom of Jesus? And how can I band together with others so that we can form these outposts of the kingdom of Jesus? That's what Jesus is trying to do. And then he says it's going to be the opposite of what everybody expects. In fact, you go and read through the Sermon on the Mount, a bunch of opposites happen. He says, hey, listen, there's going to be times when people ask you to walk a mile, and it's not going to be fair. They shouldn't ask you to do it. It's going to be wrong for them to make you do it. And instead of being all upset about it, instead of balling up your fist and punching the guy in the nose, you'd say, tell you what, I'll go the extra mile for you. When somebody's going to come along, they're going to try to take something that doesn't belong to you. They're going to try to take your coat. And he's going to say, you know what? Hey, don't just take my coat. You want more here? Take my cloak also. See, this is what Jesus is saying. And when people persecute you for the sake of Jesus, and people are going to expect you to respond and react and stand up for your rights and fight back, and you don't do that, what do? You bless those who persecute you. You bless and do not curse. See, it's the opposite of what people expect. And that's what Jesus is trying to do in your life. That's what Jesus is trying to do in my life. And that's what Union University is trying to prepare you to do. Now, unfortunately, Unfortunately, there's been a terrible assault on the kingdom of Jesus. There have been grievous wounds to the potential of the kingdom of Jesus. There have been things done to limit the scope of the kingdom of Jesus in your heart and in my heart. And that's what I want to talk about tomorrow morning when we come back to chapel. I want you to come back. I want you to bring somebody with you. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the assault on the kingdom of Jesus in your heart and how we can defend against it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth of God. I thank you for the men and women in this room. I thank you for this great university. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ for some in this room that we would be inspired to live out the kingdom of Jesus, to live as vibrant outposts. We would not be afraid. We would not be selfish. That we would not let our personal wounds and our personal hurts and our personal grievances keep us from yielding all to Christ. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we would live as outposts, effective outposts, and that we would make a difference for Jesus' sake. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. See you guys in the morning.